We can't live a life without a vision. Every business needs a vision to unite, for its people to unite. Every family needs a vision. A school needs a vision. A government needs a vision. Every campaign and politician needs a vision. And so our church, the same way, we need a vision. We want to know where we're going. And last week, I have said what our vision is. And if you haven't been here, then you could go online and listen to that message. But I'm just going to give you a few points for what is our vision. Our vision is bringing people who are far from God closer to Jesus. Now, why is it like that? Why is it people who are far from God? Because we live in a Christian nation, where 90% probably in this city will say, I'm a Christian. But only about 25 to 30% of people go to church on a regular basis. So there's a lot of people who are far from God. It's not that they don't know Jesus. They're just far from Him. And we want to bring people who are far from God closer to Jesus. Now, I also said that our main purpose is not to bring people from other churches. I don't want to stand in front of God, when He gives out our rewards in heaven and He says, what did you do in life? And I said, well, I stole about 50 people from that church. I stole 5 people from this church and that church. And I've had a big church. Hallelujah. No, I don't want to do that. That's taken from one, it's like this. It's like taking money from one pocket and putting in another pocket, thinking you made some. That's foolish, right? It's like, I got $100 here, let me move it to this way to here, and I got $100 here, so I got $200. No, you got $100. Just moved it to a different pocket, right? And so we don't want to be a church that goes and after the people who are in other churches. We want to be a church that primarily goes after people who are far from God, who walked away, who grew up maybe Christian, who heard about Jesus, but they walked away, and we want them to find this relationship with Him. Amen? Now, it's not that we don't want people to come from other churches. If God leads them here, then we will welcome anybody. Amen? We are the church that's been known to welcome weird people. We welcome anybody. We don't care what lifestyle you live. What, you know, there's not a greeter at the door checking your, you know. We want everybody. We want rich, poor. We want any place you're at. We want you to come and be in this church. We don't care if you smoke pot before the service. We want you to come. We don't care if you got drunk last night and you the music is way too loud right now. And you're like, man, the music is too loud. I was hoping for some peace and quiet so I can fall asleep. No, that's a little different. But we don't care, you know, where are you at in life? We want you to come into a personal, close relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And one more thing about New Life, we're no judgment zone. So we will not judge you. We will not condemn you. It's between you and God. But we will preach to you the Word of God. Now, sometimes the Word of God will cut you a little bit. It will rub you their own way. And that's how you know it's good. Because if it tells you whatever you want to hear, then you won't grow, spiritually speaking. But if it rubs you a little bit, maybe you will grow in your spiritual walk and relationship with Jesus. So our vision is not to be just this type of church. Our vision is to be a church that has many locations all over the city. We want to be a church of over 1,000 people. And we divided this strategy into 3 decades. I know some of you don't even think tomorrow. But vision has dates put on it. Okay? So we divided into 3 decades, 30 years into 3 decades for the next 30 years of this church. And first decade, can anybody tell me what our first decade is? It's reach Him. How can we make disciples if we don't go out in our community and reach people? We are on a second year right now of reach Him decade. Sorry, I got an accent. No, I'm not sorry about that, but I got an accent. Deal with it. So we're in the first decade. The devil is a liar. We're in the first 10 years, second year of our 10 years for reaching them. Our second 10 years is teach Him. Amen? We're going to teach. We want to make sure that in 10 more years, our church is the most spiritually growing, spiritually mature church. Amen. How many of you know you don't change in a day? You don't change even in a year. I've been a Christian for, since I was 18. I gave my life for real, 19 about, to God. And He's still working on me. And when I sometimes look at myself, my motives, and I'm like, ooh, I'm not that good. I need grace. And I've been a pastor for a long time. And so we want to grow maturely. And then the third decade is we want to send you all out. Now, we hope that we don't wait 30 years to send you out. Actually, if you're here today, God wants to send you out after the service. Amen? But our strategy is that we're going to focus on sending, especially if you've been here, by that time, if you've been here that long, you better not be here. You better go and do your own thing for Jesus. You better go all over the world and preach the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, my topic today is advertise and evangelize. Okay, I want us to open our Bible to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, let me tell you how this topic started. It started like this. I've preached this message here before a few years ago. It was advertise and don't evangelize. That's what it was. I know some of you are looking at me like, what, we're not supposed to evangelize? Just hear me out today, okay? So my topic, I changed it because some of my team, you know, they got on me and they're like, some people won't get it, so you better change it. And so I was like, fine, I'll do it. I'll just, you know, for the week. And no, just kidding. Oh, Jesus. 95% of my preaching will be good. 5% will provoke you or make you mad. Just love the 95 and leave the 5, you know. That's just it. We just saw, let's read the scripture and then we'll go into it. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Say witnesses. Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're talking about witnesses today. And some of you are like, why did we have that movie trailer up there? Well, I'll tell you in a second. But before I go into it, I want to tell you this. That I have a friend who's sitting here with us. And he's been telling me about this cool restaurant. Okay? And he's been telling me about it. And I was like, okay. I don't like trying new restaurants. Because every time I go someplace, they mess my food up. Like I order something I'm allergic to or something. Or something I totally don't like. And my friend here has been telling me about this restaurant. And so finally he's like, have you been there? Oh, no, I haven't. Have you been there? No, I haven't. I'll take you out there. I'll pay. Okay, so I'll go. I'll try it out. And so we go into this downtown little restaurant, and it's amazing. The decor is beautiful, but I'm like, I don't care about all that. I want to know how good the food is. You know, I don't care how good the decor is. Is the food good? And so I choose the biggest steak, since I'm not paying, on the menu. And they bring me, what was it, 24-ounce T-bone or what was it, ribeye. And they bring me that huge, and it just smells good, and I eat it. And after I eat it, I was like, man, this is the best steak I've ever had. So guess what I did? I just advertised it to you. And now you're going to be asking me, what restaurant is it? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to bait you a little bit. So you can come to me after church and ask me what it is. But before I told you that today, since Friday, I've told, I don't know, 5 people about this restaurant. Now, Jesse, did I grab your hand and say, come with me, or you go to hell if you don't eat in this restaurant? Come, I said. No, I didn't say that. I just said, I've been in the best restaurant. It tastes so good. And it changed my life. No, I'm just kidding. That's true. It made me heavier. Oh no. And so what I did was, I advertised. But more biblically speaking, I witnessed. What is witnessing? Because Jesus says we shall be his witnesses. What is witnesses? It's a person who has experienced something, who saw something. Like, have you ever witnessed an accident? Okay, that's you witness. But if you go to court, what are you going to do in court? You're going to testify, all right, to what you witness. So witnessing is what you saw. Testifying is what you say, what you saw. It's what you saw, you heard, you felt, you ate, you tasted, you experienced it. That's what witnessing is. Okay? And so if you've been a Christian for more than a minute, you know that God wants you to tell people about Jesus. Right? He doesn't want you to keep it to yourself. He wants you to go and tell everybody. But when we hear that we must go and witness, we hear, and this word comes a lot to us, is you must evangelize. And if you hear that word, and let me tell you what that word makes, it happens in me, it terrifies me a little bit. I'm telling you the truth. To some of you, this word evangelism or evangelize, it terrifies you, it freaks you out, it scares you a little bit. Because evangelism is, you know, if you're like LaVar here, outspoken and outgoing, yeah, it's easy for him. But if I'm introvert, and a lot of people are introverts, and it's hard for us to go and tell somebody. One time I tried to evangelize a person, and I used everything on him. I wanted a conversion right there in my car. And we're driving, and I said, Kevin, if you don't receive Jesus, you're going to hell. And he told me, I'd rather go to hell than receive your Jesus. Yeah, he told me that. Now, because I wanted to so desperately to evangelize him. And so when you hear a word that you must evangelize, it probably does not produce warm and fuzzy feelings. Now, I had some conversions on the spot. Don't think that was my only one. But I remember Kevin in my truck, and he's saying, I go to hell, I'll go to hell. But I said, you'll burn. He's like, fine, I'll burn. I'll get used to it. And so, as a Christian, we must tell others about Jesus. But let me tell you right away that God is not calling you to evangelize. There's two outcomes that happen when you tell people about Jesus. 95% of the time, people will not get saved. About only 5% of the time, people will want to pray a prayer with you to receive Jesus. And you'll see tears in their eyes. So what do we do with the 95% of the time? Have you ever tried to evangelize your coworker and then they would never speak with you again? What happened? You just made it awkward. Do you think Jesus wants that? Do you think Jesus wants you to be this awkward person in office that everybody wants to escape? And like, please don't talk to me. I won't sit with you at lunch because you're gonna try to press this Jesus on me. And if you do, I'm just going to punch you in the throat or something because that's how I feel. See, I don't think Jesus wants you to evangelize so much as he wants you to advertise. What is advertise? Advertise is the same word as witness. Tell him what you experienced. And over 30 times in the New Testament, Bible, Jesus says to us that you will be my witnesses. Not converters. Not people who go and twist somebody's arms till they say, yes, I believe. You know who converts people? Holy Spirit does. You don't convert people. So if some of you feel guilty that you are not evangelizing, listen, let me relieve you of that guilt. God doesn't want you to evangelize. Jesus wants you to be a witness. What? See, and witnessing is easy. If I like a car that I drive, guess what? I'm going to tell people, you should try this car out. It's amazing. If you try a restaurant and you love it, guess what? You're going to tell people about it. Witnessing or advertising has no pressure in it. Evangelism, the mind, something happens to our mind and we just like, I got to convert people. what did I do? And then you're all sweaty and your palms are sweaty and you're like, oh, and you run away. Jesus said he wants you to be a witness. Many of you come to Tanya or I, or you text us or you call us and you say, God has really changed my life. You know what? That's great that you came to us and told it to us. But imagine if you told it to your friends. Just like you would advertise a restaurant or a club that you went to. Man, that club is hot, man. Tons of people, the music, the DJ, man. Oh, yeah. You know, just like you would do that. Imagine if you told people like that about Jesus. You know, Jesus, man, he's changing my life. I feel different. Do you know that you can use a phrase like, how are you, to use it for an opportunity to evangelize? I'm sorry. There's that word again. It's advertise. You know that you can use a phrase like, how are you, to advertise about Jesus? Tell people, witness, share. We can use different words for it. Just ask me how I am.
How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. Come on, grab my hand. Just listen. Jesse, I know you haven't seen me for a while, but God has been doing like good things in my life. Like seriously, I've been going to church and I'm trying to do better, live better. So yeah, I'm actually doing good. Okay, do it again.
How are you?
Let's say I'm not doing good. What, am I going to lie? Yeah, good, man. Good. And I'm not doing good. I'm not doing good. I am actually struggling. But guess what? I've been allowing God in my life. And he's been coming in and helping me cope with this. Maybe you're going through a relational problem. You can say, hey, I've been, you know, and I don't know what I would do if I didn't have God in my life. Jesus has really come and I feel his love even in a time of pain. Let's say you're sick and you say, my body is sick. But guess what? I have Jesus and he's helping me. And I'm going to church and God is changing my life. You see how easy that is? You can use a how are you phrase to tell people about Jesus, what he has done for you. But you know what happens to a lot of Christians? We have been Christians for so long that we don't even remember what Jesus has done for us. A few weeks ago, I listened to a CD that I found when I was 18 years old. And it reminded me of my emotions when I was about 18, 19 years old. Or 20 years old, somewhere in that area. And I remembered that all those dreams, all those desires that I had and I wanted. And all those passions and all those things that were so like non-attainable. God has already done in my life. And so the longer I am a Christian, I see the difference, how much God can change my life. Some of you young people on this side, you think, well, you're just starting your life out. You're just starting to make your own decisions, right? Before that, your parents were making decisions, but now you're starting to make a decision. And let me tell you this, young people, that the best decision you can ever make, but you won't see it till about 10 years from today. So Roger, you're 18, 17, 16. Okay. Got a long way down. and you probably won't see the change so fast. Most people don't see it right away. But guess what? In 10 years, you will see a great difference between if you didn't serve God and if you would have served God. God changed my life. Allowing him in my life. And when I was about 20, I remember praying because I felt like a hypocrite because I wasn't living for Jesus all the way. Maybe some of you felt that way. And I made a decision. I said, I'm going to follow God 100% that I can. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to try and do this 100% and see if it works. And today I'm 33 years old and I'm standing before you. I look younger, about 29. No, I'm just kidding. And I'm standing before you and I could tell you that God changed my life. That's 15 years. And when I look back and I'm like, Lord, where would I've been if it wasn't for you? How many things you protected me from? I would have went to jail already. If you know my personality, I'm hyper, I'm controlling and I'm go-getter, you know. But God has protected me. And if he did it for me, he will do it for you. But I know he did it for you already, and he wants to do it from people outside of this church. And so he says, he says he wants you to go and tell people. But if you're scared about it, you're not going to tell people. So I believe he gave me a simple word today, is that don't worry about evangelizing, advertise, witness, share what God has done for you. It could be little. God could have done little things for you. Maybe he set you free from anxiety and say, man, I had anxiety and I allow God and he healed my anxiety. Maybe it's a pain in the body. Maybe, I don't know, financially he did a miracle for you. Maybe relationally he did a miracle for you. Whatever it is, even if you're not good, doing good, you can still tell people about Jesus. Amen? And so as believers, we're called to be witnesses. Now some of you think, where does this advertisement come from? And why did we have that trailer? Okay? Because God is the best advertiser in the universe. I'll prove it to you that God is a marketing genius. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, God already advertised a seed of a woman, which is Jesus Christ. In the third chapter of Genesis, God is advertising. He said, I know you guys messed up, Adam and Eve. And I know you're going to have some history trouble and sweat and trials. But guess what? I'm going to send my son, a seed of a woman who will bruise the head of Satan. What was that? That was a trailer. Right? Just like the trailer here we saw. You probably all want to go and see that movie. That movie is still coming up. I want to see that movie. Throughout the Bible, God is advertising prophetically, saying that my son is coming, Messiah is coming, who's going to restore a relationship between people and God. Life of Joseph is such an example of Jesus. The rock that Israelites were drinking from in the Moses time. Bible says it was Jesus Christ was the rock. The manna was his word. So we see throughout history. In Isaiah, we see him saying, a child is born unto us and a son is given and a government will be on his shoulders. That's advertising Jesus. He's saying, get ready. Because if God didn't advertise, we wouldn't be waiting for a Messiah. So Jesus shows up and he's like, I'm here. And we're like, oop-de-doo, good for you. You came, but we weren't waiting. Goodbye. No, but God was already pre-telling it. Telling us that something is coming. Something better is coming. Something that's going to change your life. Something that's going to restore relationships. Do you know who was the best advertiser? And how I found this whole idea in the Bible? First of all, I did a year in marketing. And so that's why I'm a marketer. So when I see the Bible, I can see marketing in there. I'm a businessman. So when I look at the Bible, I see business ideas in here. Okay, so whatever level you are, whatever your gift is, God will speak to you through this word. Amen? The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. What is a merchant? A businessman. Kingdom of heaven is like a businessman. Ah, see? You didn't see that probably, right? But it's there. Amen. But we'll study that too someday. So the best marketer, I was just joking. The best marketer was John the Baptist. Do you know that John the Baptist, people come to him and say, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? Are you the one that, you know, it was prophesied to? He says, no, I'm not the one, but the one that's coming after me, his shoelaces, I'm unworthy to untie. I baptize you with water, he says, but the one coming after me is going to baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. John the Baptist was advertising. And when Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was put in prison. Because Jesus didn't need to be advertised anymore. He did it on his own. Bible is a book of come and see. You remember Andrew, or was it Peter, who met Jesus? And then he goes and gets his brother and says, come and see. Come and see. I think I found a Messiah. See, God is not looking for you to come and convert people on the spot. Although, you got to be ready for it to happen. But it's not from you. It's not because you're good. Your responsibility is to witness. Your responsibility is to share with people what God has done in your life. Holy Spirit's responsibility is to convert people. And sometimes you're talking to a person, you're just sharing your faith and your life, your testimony. And guess what? You see tears in their eyes. When you see that, that's not just tears. You see faith. You know, they're receiving it. Then you say, would you like to pray with me? But if a person is totally closed to you, please don't throw your gems to the swine, Bible says. If a person is not ready, he's mocking you and you're like, you better pray a sinner's prayer with me. It's not working. You're repelling a person. You're resisting a person. God is not using you in that time. And maybe it's not his time. Just tell him your testimony and let it go. And maybe a year from then, he will come to you and say, or she will come to you and say, hey, remember what you told me? I think I'm ready now. I've had people say that to me. You don't have to push. Holy Spirit does the work. We don't save people. We don't preach in our own power. What is the word preach? Because I want us to look at one more scripture and we're almost done. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Let's put that on. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what does the word preach means? Does anybody know? Proclaim. You go and proclaim. You announce. You say, God sent his son so you can have peace with him. So humanity could have peace with him. Now, would you want to receive him? And whoever does, they could. And whoever doesn't, Bible says, choose between life and death, blessing and cursing. God gives us a choice. And so that's why I don't want you to take responsibility for salvation of people on yourself. The only responsibility we as a church have is to witness what he has already done. And don't go witnessing somebody else's testimony. And don't go try to be bad so you later could have a good testimony. I had a guy who said, I'm going to go try living in the world a little bit because I don't have a testimony. So he says, I tried 7 types of drugs now and he could have a test. He still doesn't have a testimony. So don't wait. And this has been 8 years ago and he won't have a testimony. God wants to use your life. It's not something so big. He wants to just use you. Because there's people in this world, in this city, that only you could reach. And so your job is not to convert them. But your job is to witness to them. Tell them that what God has done for you and what he can do for them. And tell them that God loves them. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. I'm going to do a little plug-in before I'm finished. I got 4 minutes. In February, we have a new series coming, the Love of God series. We're going to talk about the love of God. And this series is not for you. Huh. This series is for people who are far from God. So what you need to do, you need to bring people so they can experience this love. Some of you have been in the church way too long and God wants to use you in your community. Okay? So I want you to go and look for your friends and relatives and just invite them. Advertise this church and tell them, hey, we got a cool band and a pastor with an accent. You can barely understand him, but he's passionate. Hallelujah. And so just tell people about this place or tell people about Jesus. Tell both. Amen? And Jesus said, you shall receive power when Holy Spirit comes on you. If you have believed him, Holy Spirit came in into your heart. Now, he empowers you for ministry. And your ministry is witnessing or advertising or sharing your faith and what God has done for you. Amen? Amen. Put your hands together and bless God.